Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Dear friends, she was a poor woman. In fact, the word poor doesn't actually fully describe her situation. She has nothing. And she lives at a time when there are no food banks and no welfare system to help her. She lives at a time that women would rarely earn money to support themselves. They relied on their husbands to take care of them. And her husband has sadly passed away. She's a widow. She has nothing. And yet one day when she was in the temple of the Lord, she took what she had, 2 coins, equivalent to about 2 pennies, and she gave that to the Lord. Why? It's because she was thanking the Lord for what he had given to her, and she was trusting that the Lord would take care of her. Jesus saw this, and he praised the widow that she gave this offering. She gave all that she had to the Lord. Now, does this mean that God wants us to give every single thing that we have in our offerings to him? No. But what we have, we are to give to the Lord. We see that in this short little account from the book of 2 Kings. And as we look at this account, we see that what we have, we can give in different aspects. The story begins by saying, a man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. We don't know who this man is. We know nothing about him, except the fact that he is a believer. We see his faith in action as he gives this offering to the prophet Elisha. And of his offering, I want you to notice that he gives the first ripe grain of his harvest. We all know what it's like to look forward to the first ripe crop of what we have planted. We wait for the tomatoes to turn green to red. We wait for the green beans to be big enough so that we can pick them. We wait for the stalks to produce the first ears of corn. And when those first fruits come, we look forward to having them and enjoying them. But this man takes the first fruits of his crop. He bakes 20 loaves of bread, and he gives it to the Lord. Why would he do that with the first fruits of his harvest? He does it because he's obeying the command the Lord gave to his people. The Lord told his people to bring their first fruits to him. He told his people to bring their best to him, and he would give them the rest to enjoy. The same command still applies to us today. Scripture says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. We see God's command that we are to bring our first and best to him in our offerings. But we also see the promise that he gives us, that he will give us the rest of what we have to enjoy, and he will greatly bless us even more. So as I said earlier, God doesn't expect us to give every single thing that we have to him in our offerings. We are to be good stewards, good managers of the money that we have, to provide for ourselves, to provide for our family, to provide for our friends and others. This is why we budget our money carefully. We budget money for groceries, money for bills, money for emergencies, money for retirement, money for recreation, and money for so many other things. But as we budget our money, do we budget our offerings first for the Lord? Or do we only give him what is left over? Do we bring our best offerings to God, or do we only give him the scraps? Do we ever neglect to even give an offering to our Lord? And instead, we keep what we have instead of giving what we have to him. When we act in this way, what does that say to the Lord? What does that say about our relationship with God? It says to the Lord that we love money more than him. It says to God that all these priorities that we budget for are more important than him. It says to God that we are ungrateful, unthankful, and discontent with what he has given us. And when we don't give our offerings to him, we don't give our best and our first fruits to him, we are robbing God. We are robbing God. Because everything that exists in this world belongs to him. He created everything. Everything that we have has been graciously given to us by God. Even the fact that you have worked and earned the money that you have, God says, don't think it was your own hands that have done this. I'm the one who has blessed you with a job. I'm the one who has blessed you by being able to work at your job. This is why God says, bring your best and your first fruits to me, and I will give you the rest to enjoy. And yet, because of our greed and our selfishness, it prevents us from doing this. We keep what we have. And if we take this sin so lightly, if we think it is not a big deal that we don't bring our offerings to God, listen to the warning that Scripture gives. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. Because of our greed, because of our selfishness, we can ruin our own lives. Not only our physical lives, that we pierce ourselves with many griefs, that we would be willing to do anything to make ourselves richer, but it also can ruin our spiritual lives. For we can wander from the faith simply because we want more for ourselves. This is idolatry. It is loving money and our desires and what we want more than God. And God should turn away from us and look more favorably upon others who give their best and their first fruits and their offerings to him. And so, my dear friends, when we struggle with our greed and our selfishness, turn to God. Turn to a God who doesn't turn away from you. Rather, he turns to you to look favorably upon you. God has given us his best. He has given us the one thing that he loves the most. And that one thing isn't actually a thing. It's his one and only Son. Scripture says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Christ, our Lord and our Savior, left all the riches of heaven to come to this world to be poor for us, so that through his poverty, we become rich. Rich, not in the sense that we would have so much money and wealth, but rich in the sense that we are rich toward God and his salvation. We are rich toward God and his salvation because Christ's perfect life, a perfect life of having no greed, a perfect life of always giving his best and his first fruits to God, a perfect life of being content with what he had and thanking God for what was given to him. That perfect life has been given to us when Christ died on the cross for our sins. Therefore, our greed, our selfishness, our discontent has been washed away, removed from our record, and forgotten by God. And so now, having received this richness of God and his salvation, let us give what we have to the Lord by giving our first and our best offerings to him, thanking him that he has given us his Son to be our Savior, and thanking him for all the other blessings that he gives us to enjoy. But that's not the only aspect of giving what we have that I want us to learn from this account. Going back to the story, the man gave 20 loaves of bread to the prophet Elisha. Let me ask you, that offering of 20 loaves, do you find that offering to be impressive or not? In one aspect, it is quite impressive. Bread was a needed commodity. You need bread to live. And it's not like he gave just one loaf of bread, he gave 20. But another aspect, his offering of 20 loaves of bread doesn't seem that impressive. It's just bread. It's not like this man gave Elisha massive amounts of money and property and land for him to enjoy. He just gives bread. But regardless if the world and others found his offering to be impressive or not, this man gave what he had. And we give what we have, regardless if the world and others will find it impressive or not. But let me ask you, when you look at what you have been given, your talents, your gifts, your personality, do you find them to be impressive or not? Deep down, we all are the worst critics about ourselves. We easily look at others and say, if only I had what they have. If only I was as gifted as they are. If only my personality was like theirs. Dear friends, when we feel this way, remember that God does not view you in that way at all. God does not view his children as some being more impressive than others. He cherishes all of his children equally, even though we all have different gifts. The Bible says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Think of the body and the different members of that body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the hands and the feet, the fingers and the toes be? So even though there's different parts of the body, and some may seem more impressive than others, they all serve a purpose for the one body. And now think about us as a church body. There have been times when people have said, Pastor, if only I were more like you. And I appreciate the sentiment, but to that I will say, if everyone was a pastor, where would the organists be? If everyone were an organist, where would the members who serve on the building and the grounds committee be? If everyone served on the building and grounds committee, where would the members be who host fellowship and make treats for us to enjoy? And the list goes on and on and on. And that just applies to us as a church. What we have, we give to others outside of this church. If everyone was like me, where would you be with your gifts your talents and your personalities. God, in His wisdom, has created us beautifully and fearfully to all have different gifts. So whether our gifts may seem impressive or not, we give what we have to serve the one body of Christ because He has given us these gifts to use. And as we give what we have, there's one more thing of assurance that I want you to learn from this account. When the man brought the 20 loaves of bread to Elisha, Elisha told the man to give those 20 loaves of bread and feed it to the 100 people that were there. The man thought that this was impossible. And rationally speaking, he was correct. There was no way that those 20 loaves could feed and satisfy 100 people. But Elisha said to this man, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." The man did what God told him to do. He gave what he had, trusting that the Lord would take care of it and would greatly bless his offering. And the Lord did. The 100 people ate, and there were some left over. So as we give what we have, let us trust that God will greatly bless it. Your offerings that you give to this church, to our synod, to our missionaries, to those training to become called workers, trust that God will greatly bless that offering, no matter the amount that you give, because He will send out His gospel and His called workers to reach out to others. If your gift is being able to sing well, then sing your praises to God as best as you can, trusting that God will be pleased how you praise Him, but also trusting that as you sing, you may be helping those that you're worshiping with to enjoy singing as well, because maybe deep down they think, "I'm not that good of a singer, and I really shouldn't be singing at all." If your gift is baking and cooking, then do it at your best, not only to support your family, but there may be someone who is grieving, and simply giving them a meal, that simple gesture can go a long way that the Lord can bless as you continue to comfort them. If your gift is just being a people person and relating with others well, then do it with great joy. Because you may have that one friend who is deeply depressed, but having you as their friend brings them joy in life. And you can trust that God will give you the opportunity to share the joy of Christ that you have with them. No matter what we have, we give, trusting that the Lord will greatly bless it. For as we heard this morning, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We give what we have. We give to the Lord our best and our first fruits, thanking Him for our salvation and thanking Him for all the blessings that He gives us. We give what we have, regardless if it seems impressive or not, because God has given us these gifts to use. We give what we have, trusting that the Lord will greatly bless it, that will result in all of us giving thanks to Him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. he descend into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.